Another part of the Christmas story that we want to cover. And I remember growing up, well, the thing I look forward to at Christmas, now understand this is the days before you had a VCR to record anything. There was no satellite or cable TV with your DVR to record it and watch it later on your television. So we got the TV guide every week. Y'all remember the TV guide? Love the TV guide. The TV guide and Reader's Digest were the two non-Christian magazines that we had in our house. I look forward, and I get that TV guide, and sometimes they'd have it on the cover as to when the Charlie Brown Christmas was going to come on, when Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer was going to come on, and then when Santa Claus is Coming to Town was going to come on. Frosty the Snowman, we had our list, and we made sure that night we got our homework done so we could watch those shows, because if you didn't watch them when they come on, you had to wait till next year before you get to see them again, you know. That's just the way it was. Y'all remember that? I mean, it's just had to do it that way. And inevitably, with our list of things we wanted to watch, my mom and dad had things they wanted to watch. And It's Wonderful Life, Miracle on 34th Street, and then there was the movie, I think it was called by the name, but I'm not exactly sure, but it was the movie where Bing Crosby sang his favorite famous Christmas song, White Christmas. Was that the name of the movie?
Yes.
The name of the movie? Okay, couldn't remember if that was the name of the movie. But that I couldn't remember. Okay, I got somebody else. Tell me what? The original name of the movie was Holiday Inn. Okay, see, I didn't know that. I don't know anything about the movie. All I remember is Bing Crosby singing White Christmas in a movie. And so there was that movie we would watch. And he would sing that, you know, he was dreaming of a white Christmas. I never had one of those until, wasn't it 2 years ago? Was it 2 years ago now we finally had snow here? Or maybe 3 years ago. We got snow, and it snowed here on Christmas. And that was the first time that here in South Carolina that I, all my years, got to see it and everything else. So we all have our Christmas ideas, right? We all have something that, what is it makes a really good Christmas? I think we can see from this passage of Scripture some things we can learn tonight. Would you stand as we honor the Word of God? And I hope, if you're dreaming of a white Christmas, that's wonderful. I don't think it may not happen this year. But I'd like to give the title of my message tonight, I'm Dreaming of a Right Christmas, R-I-G-H-T. I'm dreaming of a right Christmas. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take to Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. Father, thank you for your word. In these few moments we have here on this Sunday night, Lord, just 2 weeks away from celebrating Christmas Day, we ask, Lord, that you'll help us to understand the meaning of what is a right Christmas. What do you want us in our lives, Lord, on this Christmas season? Pray for many in our church family, Lord, tonight. I know there's so many I did not name that are not able to be here. Coughs, colds, bronchitis, congestions, and flu maybe even, and some others, Lord, dealing with other health and physical needs. Be with all of them. Lord, I pray for healing, a very special healing upon all of them. Lord, that they'll be able to feel better in these next few days so they can enjoy this time of year with their families and their friends. And Lord, we look forward to be back with us again in our services real soon. Bless our time here together tonight. In Jesus' name, And all God's people said, Amen. You may be seated. So what is a right Christmas? What kind of Christmas would it be if it were a right Christmas? Well, I made a couple lists of some things, and I think some things that will help us as we look in Matthew's gospel and we see the story that we're very familiar with and what it means about. And I just got three things of what it would be to be a right Christmas. Number one, a right Christmas will be a Christmas where Christ is supreme. Christ is supreme. Now, I love the little saying. In fact, I've got it on my... Did I drop? Oh, it's still there. Yeah, I thought it fell off. The lapel pin on my suit. And a little lapel pin that I found years ago that someone gave me says, Jesus is the reason for the season. Now, I love that saying. I see it a lot this time of year in stores, Christmas decorations. I love to go through the park here down the road from us here in Williamston, one of the city parks in our communities and our area that allow all, you know, religious decorations, and I appreciate the city of Williamston for continuing that. And many of them will have in front of their decorations, Jesus is the reason for the season. And it's just a real popular saying, and I've seen plaques and decorations and all those kinds of things with it. But let me ask you this question. Is Christ supreme in your Christmas planning this year? Have you put Jesus first in all that you plan to do these next 2 weeks? Have you made set aside your tithes and your offering first before you spend money on everybody else? Have you set aside time for worship and fellowship and so forth? We're going to have service Christmas Day. It's on Sunday. And we will have church. Can't imagine. Drove down the road the other day. I'm not going to tell you where it was. You'll find it if you drive down that same road. There's already a sign out in front of a church that said no services Christmas Day. I don't know about you, but if Hardee's can be open Christmas Day, bless God, the church can be open. Amen. Yeah, I just cannot imagine a church not having services on the greatest day to have services. And I just can't imagine that. But, you know, Christ has to be supreme. If we're going to have a right Christmas, Christ's got to be supreme. He's got to be first. And we need to make sure that He puts it first. We see the story. I'm sure Joseph had a lot of other things planned for that year. I think his life was going in a direction he was comfortable with, but then everything changed. And God came and invaded his life and in Mary's life and told them of what God was going to do. But I think, number one, Christ should be supreme to make it a right Christmas. Notice number two, I think if we're going to have a right Christmas, not only love should be, Christ should be supreme, but notice I think love should be the theme. Love should be the theme. Now, if you want to summarize what Christmas is, it's love. Think about it. It's God's love. God's demonstrating His love. God's showing His love. God loving you by giving you the greatest gift you could ever have. And God, by doing that, manifesting His love. They didn't have it then, but I'm sure that they could have read John 3:16 around the manger. You know, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I believe with all my heart that that sums up Christmas. Love should be the theme at Christmas. But do you know, and some of my law enforcement friends tell me, that this time of year they get more calls for domestic disputes. They get more fights and violence at schools and restaurants and nightclubs and bars and everything else this time of year. And that's the worst thing that should be. I mean, you know, you would think that Christmas would be the time that there's no crime going on. Give all the guys the night off at the sheriff's department, the police department. That can't happen, I'm sure. But love should be the theme. Now, notice, Joseph loved Mary. He had to. Knowing that she was giving birth to a child that physically was not his. He didn't know what to do about that situation. I mean, you know, in our culture, in our time, it's different than their time. I mean, this is something that, according to the law of Moses, Mary could have been taken out and stoned for getting pregnant before she was married. That was the law of Moses. That was the punishment. So that's why he's minded to put her away privately. He loved her. So when the angel told Joseph what was going on, you could tell he loved her even more. Because he was willing to step up and be the husband that Mary needed and to be the stepfather that Jesus was going to need on this earth. And so he took the response. He loved her. But listen, No love could compare to the love that God has for us. Christmas is all about love. Love is the thing. And when we look at a Christmas tree, when we see a manger scene, when we see decorations and all those kinds of things, it should just scream the word love to us. That's why we do what we do, isn't it? Isn't that why you buy gifts for people? Because you love them? Not because you have to. Do you buy gifts for somebody because they gave you something? Is that really? I mean, really. I mean, that shouldn't be that way. You give something because you love them. God loved you. He gave the greatest gift you could ever have. And this Christmas, make sure that love is the theme of all that you do. Well, if we're going to have a right Christmas, Christ should be supreme. Love should be the theme. But notice the last thing. If a Christmas is right, notice the kind of Christmas it is, then it's the kind of Christmas where mankind is redeemed. Mankind's redeemed. Notice that the angel tells Joseph, Joseph, this is it. This is what's going on. She's a virgin. The baby's not yours. She's conceived of the Holy Ghost. But this one is going to be named Jesus. He's going to save his people from their sins. He's going to be the Savior. He's going to be the one promised. In fact, verse 23, the angel quotes an Old Testament passage. It's Isaiah 7:14. And he quotes the passage that a virgin shall be with child and bring forth a son, call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. See, the whole purpose of Christmas is so that mankind can be redeemed. It's not so that the local department stores can have the bottom line of the end of the year sales put them over the top. It's not so that you and I could go and spend money on money we don't have, for things we don't want, for people we don't know, and for people we're not going to see anymore. I mean, that's just usually the way it works for a lot of folks. But you know, Christmas is all about folks coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it be great? And I've had this dream. And I'm not saying I'm some prophet or anything. I'm just talking about a dream. But Jeannie, I've had the dream that on the Saturdays and Sunday nights of our performances that we do every year here at this church, and on the nights that we have candlelight services, that in every one of those services there'd be people walk the aisle to get saved. I'm sorry. I just don't think that we should have Christmas plays, Christmas programs, Christmas services just for us to come and look at each other to see how good we are. I think it's an opportunity for us to share the gospel with a lost and dying world. It's been my dream, and I've had this dream. I get cold chills because I just imagine having these services and dear old sinners walking the aisle getting saved. That's what I want to see. I'm not really concerned of whether we hit all the notes and memorize all the lines, whether all the candles work, or whether we've got it all in order, or whether the sounds works or the video works or not. I want to see people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior at Christmas. That's what I want. That's my desire. And that's why I encourage our choir and encouraging them to do what they do. But to do it, and don't be overwhelmed with it all, but do it with the message that God can use it to speak to somebody's heart. I'm convinced there were some people lost in our service this morning. Say, preacher, how do you know that? Who was it? I don't know who it was. But I'm convinced there were some people here that maybe were not saved. Why don't they get saved? I don't know. But my desire is to see people come at candlelight service and get saved. My desire is to see people walk the aisle after a Christmas play on a Saturday night or a Sunday night. Because to have a right Christmas is to show that the message of Christmas is about mankind being redeemed. Picked up a little book, and I'll close with this. Picked up a little book the other night when we were at the Billy Graham Library for our Christmas event trip. Oh, we had a wonderful time. If y'all didn't get to go this year, buddy, you better sign up and go next year. Man, it was beautiful. We had a wonderful experience. Just great time, great food. And I found a little book by Billy Graham that he had written about Christmas. And the theme of this book and the title of it is this that caught my attention. That Christmas is all about the cradle, the cross, and the crown. And he takes the message of Christmas and showing how that there could not be one without the other. The cradle, the manger, the cross where he went to die, and the crown where he rose again and sits at the right hand of the throne of God. How that he fulfilled God's plan for our sacrifice and for our salvation and to obtain forgiveness for our sins. The cradle, the cross, and the crown. I don't know. That sounds like a good title for a Christmas program to me. I don't know. But I'm not a writer, but boy, that'd be a good one. But you know, that's what it's all about. And that's what Christmas should be about us. Is to put that message that Jesus is supreme. Love is the theme. And it's all about an opportunity for mankind to be redeemed. I hope that we can look at Christmas that way. And we could have the desire for Christmas to fulfill all of these things. Would you join me in prayer as we stand this evening? Let's close with a song as after I pray. I know we don't usually do this. If it's not too much trouble, Vicki and Jeannie. I want to close with Joy to the World if we could. Well, let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Tonight, as we have gathered in this place, and Lord, our hearts are just touched because so many of our church family are not able to be here. There are those that are sick and those that are away working, those that are traveling, or those that are at home taking care of others. Father, I pray for all of them. And Lord, I pray that through all the things that we seek to enjoy about this time of year, that we'll remember that you are supreme. Love is the theme. But it's all about man to be redeemed. Lord, I pray that tonight you'll just encourage us in that. Help us, Lord, in all that we do with our schedules and our time and our efforts throughout these next 2 weeks will be about making these things a reality in all of our lives. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for our fellowship. Thank you for our church. Thank you for the privilege to be here in this place. And we pray as we dismiss our service here in just a moment that you'll take us and protect us, keep us safe. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Jeannie, come in.